I'm excited to be with you today. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. This great chapter on the resurrection. The past 2 weeks, we spent some time looking at the theme of the gospel, and that theme is death to life. And we've talked about how that is not a normal way of thinking for humans. We understand life and then it ends in death. But death to life is certainly something of God. We saw what the gospel was as Paul's defined it. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We saw how there were many sightings of the resurrected Lord, and Paul makes clear note of that, making a point that many people saw him. Over 500 at one time saw the risen Lord. We've talked about the keys, the link between preaching and believing. Verse 2, verse 11, and verse 14 all carry that theme of the preaching and believing. And those two concepts are very key and linked together. And of course, as Paul is sharing this truth, the preaching of the gospel is so key to these Corinthians and their belief, what they believe, their faith. We're going to look now beginning in verse 12. And as you read down through this, I'm going to read, you follow along. Ask yourself some questions such as this. What is the value of the resurrection? Why is the resurrection so important? I mean, we're going to be looking at some key doctrinal teaching, some teaching that is integral, important to our faith. And so as you look down through this passage asking this question, why is the resurrection such an important teaching, such an important doctrine? Ask yourself, how does Paul seek to communicate this truth to the people? How does he argue the case? Paul's a very good lawyer, if you will. He knows how to make a case. Now, of course, this is under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, so of course he's going to do a good job, right? But he is seeking to help this church understand the importance of the resurrection. We're going to see in the beginning here of our passage why he's dealing with this, because the Corinthian church had some questions. Some people were teaching some false doctrine about the resurrection. So key your mind into these things as I read. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll pick it up at verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet, but when he says all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. Verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else, what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage does that give me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I'm going to stop there, and we'll see how far we can get this morning. But I wanted to read that entire package, because as you look at that package, you see several reasons or motivations for believing in the resurrection. You also see Paul there in the middle of that passage, in verses 20 down through 28, giving some very important teaching about why the resurrection is so important. So let's begin by looking back at verse 12. We see here in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, I'll say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead. Now here is the question he's seeking to answer. And this is why he's writing all about this. We have preached Christ, Paul is saying, we have preached Christ that he's rose from the dead. But there are some among you that are saying there is no resurrection of the dead. Now, if you were strictly looking at this subject from a human standpoint, we could understand why people would have a problem believing in the resurrection of the dead, right? How many of you have seen someone rise from the dead? How often is that happening around us? It's not. We aren't seeing that. Resurrection from the dead is supernatural. It is a miracle. It is something that is of God. And so it doesn't make human sense. It's that whole idea, the theme of the gospel, death to life. But there were people in the church that were either teaching or at least believing this wrong doctrine. There's no resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul is seeking to argue against that, to confront that teaching, to show really, and I'll be frank here, how ridiculous it is if you're going to say that you are a Christian, but you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. That doesn't mix. That doesn't work. You say you're a part of this church, but you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. How can that be? How? So what he does is he takes and he makes an argument. And what you see, when I was studying this, sometimes what I do is I'll take the passage and I'll write the first statement. And then usually, especially with Paul, he makes a main statement, and then underneath that a supporting statement. Or it might be a series of supporting statements. And so it's interesting, when you look down through here, what he does. Notice what He says here in verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead. So here he says, okay, I'm going to go along with what you're saying for a little while. All right, so just let's just take what you're believing and what you're teaching, and let's take that out to its ultimate conclusion. Let's really see where your wrong belief takes you. All right, so this is what he does. He says, verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Uh-oh. Okay. So if we don't believe there's a resurrection of the dead, then, okay, first of all, you have to believe that Christ is not risen. All right, so right away, we have to take a step back, and we're going to have to admit that Christ is still dead, that he's still in the tomb. What is that doing to your faith? What kind of bells are going off in your Christian mind and heart if you have to make that belief somehow true? Christ is still in the tomb. All right, well, let's just let this argument flow out, though, all right? So, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen, all right? Now, those two, that supporting statement, now verse 14, another, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is in vain. When he says our preaching, I really believe he's speaking of the apostles and probably Apollos and those that have done the preaching there in Corinth. They have very clearly preached the entire gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what they've been preaching. But he says, now listen, Corinthians, if you're going to take that argument and say that there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then all this time that we've been preaching to you, this is worthless. We've just been flapping our mouths. And it's no value. And if our preaching is of no value, then whatever faith that you have, and you calling it faith, is worthless, of no value. Because we've been preaching the gospel that we believe is the truth, and you believe this gospel, and now for you to go back and you say, now there's no resurrection of the dead, that just negates this belief. It negates this preaching. He's making this argument to show how ridiculous this thinking really is. Now, of course, this would be the way of thinking to go along with the world. Because the world certainly doesn't want to give God any credit. Doesn't want to allow God to have power to do miracles. No way. And of sorts, this is infiltrating the church. Well, he continues on. So again, if Christ be not risen, beginning of verse 14, we have these supporting statements. Then is our preaching in vain? And your faith is also in vain. In verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Now that's a high charge. I mean, that's a direct charge. You are saying we're liars. We are false witnesses of God. Why? Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he didn't raise up, if we're going to follow your line of thinking. So therefore, end of verse 15, if so be that the dead rise not. So that's this is the conclusion of this argument of where you go. If you say the dead don't rise, then Christ is not risen, our preaching is in vain, your faith is in vain, and we are found false teachers, false witnesses of God. All right, so that's a very clear challenge and affront to these believers. You know, if let's just take this thought now, and let's think about this today. I don't know all of you, but maybe some of you maybe have thought about the resurrection and have maybe been challenged about, did it really happen? Is it really true? Or maybe you have doubted why it's really an important doctrine. I trust that as you see this flow and this argument, and you know the Apostle Paul and what he stands for, who he stands for, you can begin to see how important this doctrine is. that God has the power to raise the dead to life? That's the question. I mean, we're really, it's not just, even it's deeper than just, is there resurrection of the dead? It's does God have power over death? If you really want to take it that far, you're going to have to ask that question. Does my God have power to overwhelm the grave? Do you believe your God has that kind of power? I submit to you, if your God that you're believing in does not have power over the grave and over death, then you're not believing in the God of the Scriptures. Because the Scriptures teach otherwise. Let's follow along again this argument in verse 16. Paul says, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised." Okay, so he's repeating his main statement. Verse 17, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain." And now notice what he says next. Let this sink into your heart. You are yet in your sins. Do you understand the weight of that statement? If you're going to say there's no resurrection of the dead, you're going to say that the dead are not raised, then your faith is in vain. It's of no value. It's worthless. Your faith is in vain, so therefore you are yet in your sins. Why does he say that statement? Why? What is your relationship with sin? Is sin a good buddy? Is sin a nice thing to have around? Let's make it a person. Just give it a, just personalize sin for a moment here. You know, is sin the kind of friend you want to have? Is having sin around you and in your life a good thing and a positive thing and helpful? Having sin in your life, does it grant you freedom? Or is it bondage? Some, if they think quickly, sin gives you the freedom to do whatever you want. But if you take that further into the ultimate conclusion of that thought, you're going to end up in bondage. All right, so if he says there's no resurrection and then my faith is of no value, then I am left in my sin. I am left without hope. What is the wage of sin? What does sin bring? It brings death. The theme of the gospel is death to life. But you Corinthians have canceled that by saying there's no resurrection of the dead, so therefore you're left dead. You're left dead. You are left in your sins. Now, if that is true, if you are left in your sins, then therefore what does that mean for those who have died? Say you've got a mother. She got saved that first time Paul came through. And she was excited about her faith. But she was very ill at the time. And some 6 months after she trusted Christ, she died. This was your mom. And you loved her. And you cared about her. All right. She believed the gospel as it was preached by Paul, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ is raised, then therefore, since the gospel is good news, it's life-giving, therefore, since Jesus arose, that means I can have life if I believe in Jesus. And that's what she died believing. But now there's this doctrine and new teaching in the church. Oh, there's no resurrection of the dead. No. Okay, then. What does that mean for your dead mother? Where is she? What's happened What's happened? What's this verse 17? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You are yet in your sins. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are what? They're perished. They're done. Gone. It's over. It's over. Probably most of us in here have experienced the death of a close loved one. Now, if this loved one knew the Lord, and you know, you have this hope in your heart that you're going to see them in heaven, right? Is this true? You have that longing, you have that desire. Ultimately, that longing and that desire, that hope, it has its root in the gospel itself. That's where that's found. It's actually specifically in the resurrection. So, think about the ramifications of believing this false teaching, this false doctrine, there's no resurrection of the dead, when it comes to this whole idea of what's happened to people after they die. They believed in Jesus, they believed the gospel, but now there's this false teaching. Does that cancel out what they believed, and now they're just destroyed? Perished? I know that most of us in here probably think that, you know, Pastor, we got this, we understand this, but you know what? We need to understand the importance of believing and teaching and preaching right doctrine. And that's what Paul's doing here to this church. And I don't know, there may be some in here that you've been challenged with this teaching. You've been challenged with this doctrine. And you've got to understand Paul's argument and take it to its full conclusion. Well, Paul, he takes that thought and then he says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most what? Happy. No? It's not what my version says either. It's this word that we use when we are wake up in the morning and we are sick. And we feel horrible. We are what? Miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What's he saying? Well, if you're going to say there's no resurrection of the dead, then that means that the gospel or that Jesus Christ and what he has done only has value for those that are alive. On this earth, that's the only time. Because there's no resurrection of the dead. So when you die, this just, you know, the power of God is no more. You know, God has no power over death. So therefore, death wins. So really, your hope is confined to this life now. And you're in your sin still. So you have this hope in Christ. If it's only hope in Christ for this life now, where does that leave you? Now, of course, these people probably were teaching that, you know, if Christ were to come back, oh, wait a minute, how can Christ come back if he's still in the grave? This really messes it up, doesn't it? This really messes it up. But that's what false teaching does. And church, we have to be discerning because false teaching is all around us. It's on TV, it's on media, radio, and you and I have to be discerning and go to the scriptures and pick these things apart just like Paul is doing. You take the teaching and take it to its ultimate conclusion. If they say this, then that means this, this, and this. Now, does that make sense with what the scripture is teaching? That's what Paul's doing here with us. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I dare say that a Christian that doesn't, let me quote unquote Christian, a professing Christian that doesn't believe in the resurrection is going to be more miserable than somebody that just lives in the world and doesn't care about anything. They're just going to be more miserable. Because here they are, they're trying to please God, but they've got no hope for the future, and it's just going to be some frustrating mess. So the consequences of no resurrection are huge. If there's no resurrection in the dead, Christ is not risen, preaching is vain, preaching the gospel is vain. Those that are believing that gospel, it's a vain belief, worthless belief. The preachers are found to be false witnesses. Believers are yet in their sins. Those that have died in Christ are just perished. They're done. And we are left miserable. I kind of, Paul, he does a very good job of giving very clear doctrine, but I am grateful that he does give us some emotional reasons as well. I think that's great because, you know, he's a real person. He experiences life. And this just this idea of feeling miserable communicates, doesn't it? We feel miserable because, hey, what do we have to look forward to? I can't do anything today. I am sick. I can't do what I want to do. Well, this is the way it is. This is the consequence of no resurrection. The next section of Scripture, Paul then takes and he gives some very important teaching about the results of Christ's resurrection, or we could say the ramifications of the resurrection for the future, of the church. I'm going to save that for another time because I don't want to rush through that. So in conclusion today, we have looked at verses 12 through 19 and we have looked at the consequences of no resurrection. And as we have looked at that, we can walk away with these things as the value of the resurrection. So what I'm doing here is I'm going to take what we've looked at today and I'm going to turn it around into the positive, because I want us to, as we walk away today, I want you to take something and say, you know what? Believing in the resurrection really is important for my life. It really is something that I have to engage my mind on. I have to believe with all my heart. I have found eight in this entire passage. We only looked at four today. And in verses 11 through 15, you see that believing in the doctrine of the resurrection is valuable to the church because, number one, it is a motivation for preaching. It is a motivation for preaching. Why do I say that? I say that because if there is no resurrection, there is no resurrection of the dead, why preach? Why? Why go to work and sit down with a coworker and tell them about hope and life in Christ if there's no resurrection of the dead? Why proclaim? Listen, church. The value in believing this doctrine is because it motivates us to preaching. Believing that the resurrection happened, that it is true, and that you and I have life after death through Jesus Christ is a motivation to preach, right? To preach and proclaim. What else do we see here? It's a motivation for believing. It's a motivation for believing. Why would a person believe in a gospel, good news, that ends with death? They might say, we're going to have a good time now. Let the good times roll, baby. We're going to have it now. But the ultimate conclusion is what? You're still in your sin and you're dead. Boom. Listen, preaching the whole gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, not only is it a motivation for preaching, but it is a motivation for believing. I am believing in Jesus Christ because there is hope beyond the grave. Hope. True hope. And I believe that because my Lord rose. He's alive. He can certainly bring me to life. Thirdly, so we have motivation for preaching, it's motivation for believing. Thirdly, motivation for living in the forgiveness of sin. In verse 17, we looked at it already. It says, you are yet in your sins. But if you do believe in the resurrection, then you can understand and you can believe and rejoice that you are not in bondage to your sin, that you are not confined by it, that your life is just, it's not going to end just with this sin. Sin is not this overwhelming burden that you are carrying through your life and you just can't do anything with it. You're just stuck. No. You believe in the resurrection of the dead. You believe in the resurrection. This is death to life. This tells me that there is release from that. That there is forgiveness from sin. That you are not yet just stuck in these sins. But there is hope beyond that. And we know that. That is true. And that is a teaching of the Scriptures. And so fourthly, believing this doctrine of the resurrection. It's a motivation for preaching. It's motivation for believing. It's motivation for living in the forgiveness of sin. Fourthly, it's motivation for living with hope. You don't believe in the resurrection. You only have a hope that lasts as long as your breath. But you believe in the resurrection. You have a hope beyond the grave. You have a hope. Therefore, death is something that you know you may face, physical death, but it's not the end of the world. In fact, it's the new beginning for you with Christ. This is a hope that can carry, and I do believe it carries us, doesn't it? Your hope is what is carrying you every day. You waking up in the morning, and your life is different than your coworker that doesn't know the Lord because you have a hope beyond the grave. If your life ended today, you were going to be with Jesus. That's hope. That's a living hope. So believing right doctrine matters. Believing right teaching is important. Paul's confronting this wrong belief and this wrong teaching. And you can see his passion. He is just out there to get them to think this through. Wake up, church. Understand. Christ is alive. And it has incredible benefits. It's preaching. It's believing. It's forgiveness. It's hope. Thank you, God, for the truth of the Word of God and for right doctrine, right teaching. And God, this is so encouraging to our hearts today. Because, Lord, we do believe in the resurrection of the dead. We do believe that our loved ones that have died in Christ, we will see again. Lord, we believe you're alive. I pray that you would encourage hearts today. Lord, may they be blessed by this truth. In Jesus' name, amen.